Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is April 13th, 2017. It is the Thursday in Holy Week, also known as Holy Thursday, and also known as Maundy Thursday. And I'm curious if you have a particular tradition in your congregation, in your community, that happens on Maundy Thursday. A lot of churches participate in a foot washing. There's some sort of foot washing portion of their worship service on Maundy Thursday, and that will make more sense if you've never heard of that as we read through today's gospel reading. So I'm curious if you have experienced that. For me personally, my home congregation did not do a foot washing service when I was growing up, so I wasn't exposed to that type of worship experience until I was in my 20s, actually, and I was working as a camp counselor at a Lutheran Bible camp in the middle of nowhere, Montana. And we did that. We did a foot washing ceremony or service, worship service, excuse me, as part of our camp, our staff training. So that was the first time I experienced it. And then I've participated in it since, especially as a pastor in both of the congregations that I've served. I've done the foot washing. And I'm just curious as to what your experience with this has been. Growing up, we still had a Maundy Thursday service. We just did a Seder meal together. And there's a lot of mixed feelings about Christians doing Seder meals. And I understand both sides of it, that, you know, it is the Jewish tradition of Passover, that Jesus was participating in a Seder meal with his disciples when the Last Supper took place. And so there's that portion of it. But I also understand the other side saying that, you know, it's a Jewish tradition. It's not one that we should be co-opting and making our own. I do understand both sides of it. I had a professor in seminary who always used to say, if you want to participate in a Seder meal, then you just need to make some Jewish friends, which is pretty good advice in general. I mean, if you're curious about something that is a Jewish tradition, you just need to go talk to a Jewish person, and they can tell you about their experience with their own religion, their own worship practices, whether or not they do a traditional Seder meal or another kind of Seder meal. So I definitely take his words to heart, and I have been to some traditional Jewish Seders, and they are a wonderful experience to learn about a different way of worshiping that and experiencing the Passover and experiencing it as they experience it, you know, and with all of the tradition and the rituals and the questions. It's really interesting. So I'm not going to weigh in on the debate as to whether Christians should do a Seder meal or not. That's not what this podcast is for. But like my Old Testament professor would say, if you want to experience a traditional Jewish Seder meal, just you need to find some Jewish friends and ask them about it and see if you can get yourself invited over for a Seder meal. Don't be too pushy about it, though. You know, don't just be like, invite me over. You know, make the connection first. So anyway, today is, as I said, Maundy Thursday, and we will be discussing the gospel text that is assigned for today, and that gospel is from John chapter 13. We'll be discussing that after we take this short break, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Today is Maundy Thursday, the Thursday of Holy Week. It is the day that we celebrate, well, that we commemorate Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. We acknowledge that this is the day that he had that Last Supper where he tried to give them as much as he could of himself before he was betrayed and arrested and eventually crucified. So the text that is assigned for Maundy Thursday comes from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and then 31b through 35. And those verses are as follows. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And again, this is the gospel text assigned for today, Maundy Thursday. It is from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 and 31b through 35. And there's a lot of really rich imagery in this text and a lot of really great things to take out of this text. I'm wondering what jumps out at you when you hear this. I wonder if you hear anything different, if you heard anything different during this reading than you've heard before. And for me, there's a couple things that always jump out at me. First off, I like the way John writes. He writes a little differently than the other Gospels. I've mentioned that before. But even beyond that, I really like that there's so much talk of love in John's Gospel. There's so much imagery of Jesus as light, Jesus speaking of love. I like the imagery that comes to us from John's Gospel. I love the last section. I'm so glad that it's included in the reading, the 31b through 35, when Jesus is, again, trying to tell his disciples that, you know, he's not going to be with them much longer. It is time for him to be glorified, as he says, that God has been glorified in him. And he says, just as I said to the Jews, you know, where I am going, you cannot come. He is still trying to tell them, to warn them what is ahead, what was going to come. And as I said yesterday in the podcast, the disciples still don't really get it. I think they're in denial. I just don't think they want to hear what Jesus is trying to tell them. And it's understandable because they are human and he is, again, their teacher and their mentor and their friend, and they love him and they respect him and they don't want to think about anything bad happening to him. We can understand that. So the disciples, I think, are in a little bit of denial, but I love that Jesus leaves them with first this example of service, that Jesus is the one who washes their feet because he is their teacher, he is their mentor, and as such, it might have been expected that they should wash his feet because they are the students, he is the teacher, you know, they have a different level in the social hierarchy than he might have. But no, Jesus says that he came to serve. He is not the Messiah that people expected, and they wouldn't have expected him to necessarily wash his disciples' feet. And this is why I really appreciate Simon Peter in this text. I actually appreciate Simon Peter a lot throughout the Gospels because I feel like Simon Peter is me in so many ways. You know, he's over the top all the time. He's just, he blurts out what he's thinking. He says things that he maybe shouldn't. He's always saying something that sounds maybe a little bit dumb. And yet he is one of Jesus's faithful followers, and he is the rock upon which Jesus builds his church. That's what Peter means. The name means rock. And there's some scholars who say that that really means that it just meant that Peter was hard-headed or maybe not the brightest, that, you know, so he was dumb like a rock. But I prefer the solid foundation of the rock that he is being built upon, that the church is being built upon. Because regardless of whether he says things that might come across as not so smart, he is very faithful. And I know that the betrayals are coming up, that he does deny Jesus, Judas betrays Jesus, but Peter denies him three times. And we can understand that from a human aspect as well. But I like Peter. I like Peter as a disciple. I feel like he is very human. But when Jesus comes to him to wash his feet, Simon Peter says, you know, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet, right? And Jesus says, probably is thinking, I wonder, you know, I don't think eye rolling was necessarily a thing in Jesus's time, but you got to wonder if Jesus was secretly rolling his eyes at Peter sometimes, or if he just looked at him with love and affection, like, oh, there, bless your heart. But Jesus, you know, Peter has already seen him wash the feet of other disciples. But when he gets to Jesus, Simon says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus, as he does, gently says, well, this needs to happen because you need to be a part of what's going on here. And if you don't let me wash your feet, you won't have a part in what I'm doing. And then Simon Peter, true to form, kind of goes 180 and completely reverses. And he's like, okay, fine. So I didn't want you to wash my feet, but now that you've said that, go ahead, wash my feet, wash my head, wash my hands. Just go all out. And Jesus says that you've bathed, you don't need to have everything washed, just your feet. And of course, you know, people wore sandals or went barefoot, so their feet got very, very dirty in the dust of the road. And so this washing of feet is a sign of hospitality. It's a sign of affection, of friendship, of hospitality. And so Jesus is doing this not only as a sign of his being a servant, but also of hospitality, etc. And so he says to Peter, you don't need to get quite so overboard. You don't need to go so overboard with your request. But I do love Simon Peter, and I love this exchange between Peter and Jesus. And then going back to what I had originally started talking about, I love the way this text ends, because Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. One of the last things that Jesus leaves them with is this example of servanthood, as well as telling them to love one another. And that is really at the heart of the gospel of Jesus. Jesus came to give us a new commandment. He came to give us a new covenant with God, that God loves us so dearly, that God is willing to do just about anything to be in relationship with us. And Jesus is reminding us to love one another, that God loves us so much that what can we do but not turn around and give that love to each other, to be servants to one another, to care for one another, to offer hospitality to one another, to offer friendship to one another. And actually, this section here that I was just reading, I give you a new commandment, is where most scholars agree the word Maundy comes from, in Maundy Thursday. And it's not a word that we use. It's really a word we only use once a year on Maundy Thursday. And so you might not be familiar with it, except for in context of Maundy Thursday, and you might not even use it in your own tradition. But most scholars agree that this word Maundy comes from Latin mandatum, which is a mandate where we get our word mandate. So the mandate that Jesus gives, I give you a new commandment to love one another. And then there's also in the Roman Catholic rite, there's a rite called the mandatum ceremony, and that is the washing of the feet. So it's not necessarily called that in every tradition, but the Roman Catholics do call it the mandatum ceremony. So Maundy Thursday, mandate, Jesus giving his disciples a new commandment that they love one another as Jesus has loved them, as God has loved them through Jesus, as God loves all of us. We're going to continue talking about Maundy Thursday. We're going to continue talking about this text from the Gospel of John, but we do have to take our second break now, so stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast on today, Maundy Thursday. Before the break, we were talking about this text from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, the text where Jesus, during the Last Supper he has with his disciples, takes a moment to do an act of service with them, an act of hospitality in the washing of their feet. And I've always liked especially how calm this particular gospel seems to be during Holy Week. In the midst of Holy Week, you know, gone now are the cheering crowds of Palm Sunday. That mob of tomorrow, of Good Friday, has not yet formed. Instead, we have this small oasis of peace and calm. As Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples, he's experiencing his last moments of calm before he faces the events of Good Friday. So during these last moments of calm, at some point during the celebration, Jesus gets up and, as we read in the text, he removes his outer garment, ties a towel around his waist, and begins to wash the feet of the disciples who are with him. And the author of John sets this act within the context of those forthcoming events, telling us that Jesus was aware that he had come from God and was soon going back to God. So the scene of the foot washing is placed in that context of Jesus' death, but also in the context of love, as I was saying before the break. Because, as I said, this scene that we read tonight really is bookended with expressions of love. We heard at the beginning that Jesus, having loved his own, loved them to the end. This phrase can also be translated as he loved them to the utmost, which then speaks really about the depth of Jesus' love. Not just to the end of his life, he loved them to the utmost. He loved them as much as he possibly could. And then at the end of the passage, he says what we were speaking of before the break, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This story begins and ends with love, and these words of love surround the actions of foot washing, an act that shows that love that Jesus has for his disciples in a very tangible way. John's story of the Last Supper, as I mentioned yesterday, is different from those of the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John omits the part where Jesus says the words that we now say at communion, the words that we talked about yesterday in the context of Corinthians, but the words we now say at communion, he instead includes the scene of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, a concrete example, a tangible act of Jesus performing this act of service that is carried out in love. And then after this act, this tangible example, Jesus speaks of a new commandment. But it isn't really new, because Jesus lived his whole life within a context of love. And the disciples witnessed that love in his ministry, through his teachings and his actions and his healings, through everything that he did through love. The verses that we skipped reading, if you remember, we jumped up to 31b. The verses that we skipped reading are those that describe in more detail the betrayal by Judas that is about to take place. So when we leave those out, it's easy to forget that Judas is also included in this whole scene of teaching and foot washing. I tend to focus, as I did before the break, on Peter and his reaction to the foot washing because, as I mentioned, I so often sympathize, empathize, I relate to Peter so much. But I've never really thought so much, or I tend to forget at least, because I do occasionally think about it, but I tend to forget that Judas is here for this as well. He hasn't left yet. He is here for the foot washing. Jesus has already said that he knows who is going to betray him, and yet there is nothing to indicate that he excludes Judas from the foot washing. He includes him in this act of love, in this act of service. And Judas's presence means that Jesus also includes him among those whom he loved to the utmost. This is just such a perfect picture of Jesus. Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knows that Judas is going to betray him, and yet he still loves Judas. And Jesus' command to the disciples that they love one another is to all of the disciples. He doesn't say, love one another, except for Judas, who's about to betray me. He doesn't say, love one another, except for people that you don't like. He doesn't say, love one another, except for people who don't agree with you. He says, love one another, because people will recognize you as my disciples by that love. And I find myself always in awe of Jesus and his acts of compassion and love, because it reminds me of just how flawed and imperfect I am as a human, especially when I think about putting myself into this situation. Usually I identify with Peter, but I often find myself thinking of Jesus washing the feet of the man who will soon betray him to the officials who will arrest and torture and crucify Jesus. Suddenly, when you think about it that way, Jesus' act of humble service is even more humble and humbling to me than I originally imagined. About a week into my first call at my first congregation, I got backed into a corner, figuratively, it wasn't a literal backing into a corner, by one of the crankier members of that congregation, and I ended up saying something really stupid. I kind of went into panic mode because she was confronting me and she wasn't being mean, but she wasn't being terribly tactful. And it came out, the way I said it, it came out in a way that just completely offended her. So she stormed off immediately and began the phone calls and the parking lot conversations. It really wasn't my finest moment as a new pastor. She started calling people to tell them what I had said and how horrible I was. And, you know, these things happen. But I was there for 2 years after that. And no matter what I did or said from that point on, she seemed intent on putting me in the most negative light possible, making sure everyone else saw things her way. She really... she didn't like go out of her way to get me fired or anything, to get me out of my call, but she didn't go out of her way to be kind either. And yet, also almost every week, I looked her in the eye and I said, "Body of Christ given for you." And trust me, I wasn't always Christ-like in these moments. I usually managed not to clench my teeth in frustration from her, but I can guarantee that there was a lot of turmoil going on in my brain when I would commune her every week, most weeks. And I'm not saying that I'm like Jesus in this case, because I'm certainly not like Jesus washing the feet of Judas, the man who betrays him. But it makes me think of those times, because despite my dislike and my mistrust of this woman, she is still a child of God. And I had been called, just like the disciples, to love God's children. I am called to love God's children, just like you are. Having been called as an ordained person to proclaim the grace and love of God to everyone, not just those that I like or who think like me. I was called to proclaim the love of God to everyone. And Jesus, again, didn't say, love one another unless you don't like them, or if they've hurt your feelings, or if they think differently than you. He doesn't give qualifications. He just says, love one another. And then he shows them one more time, as he had possibly showed them a million times before, that loving each other means being of service to them, means acting in ways that show, that tangibly show that love that you have for each other. And we've been traveling together through Holy Week now, and it can be easy to get caught up, whether it's in the events of Holy Week or it's in being so busy with our lives during Holy Week. I know a lot of schools have spring break this week, and so parents are harried with trying to figure out childcare, trying to figure out all those things that come with having your child out of school for that time when you normally have them in school, so they have to figure out all of those things. It can be a hectic time for a lot of people, not just pastors who have extra services. It can be hectic for a lot of people. And it can also just be hectic as you try to assimilate all this information that comes at you during the events of Holy Week. We can get caught up in that celebration of Palm Sunday. We can get caught up in the horror and sadness of Good Friday. And then we can get caught up in the joy and the good news of Easter, with the Easter lilies and the special music and just the amazing things that happen on Easter morning during worship that are so wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with being caught up in the various emotions of this week. But even as you're caught up in that story, if you tend to get caught up, I think it's important for all of us to try and find those places of calm, like today's gospel reading. Whether your life is crazy, I mean, this is good advice for me. I'm always preaching to myself. But when your life is crazy, it's important to find those moments of calm, those moments of quiet, the oasis within the chaos. And this is what I always feel like today's gospel reading is. It's that moment of calm between the craziness that is Holy Week. So try to remember that Jesus's last act with his disciples was one of loving service and an example to us of what good news truly looks like. So however you choose to show that love to your brothers and sisters, just go out and do it. Do it with a full heart. Do it with an open heart. Try not to get caught up in, I don't like this person, or I don't agree with this person, or and I'm not saying go out and find the people that have hurt you and put yourself in a situation that is going to hurt you again. No, be safe. Always be safe. But there's people that we have lesser amounts of tension with, and to show them love and to show them acts of service and kindness is what we are called to do. We're called to show God's love to everyone. And if you can't do that in person, then, you know, you can always pray for the people that even the people that you aren't safe with. Don't go near the people that you aren't safe with. If you are in any way concerned, you can always pray for those people. And God's love is so much bigger than all of us. So even when we can't love or forgive someone, we can turn to God and God can help us with those things. But remember always that the good news is always based on love. God's love, Christ's love, and then our love for one another. And that, to me, is what Maundy Thursday is about, that act of service, the act of service of Christ washing his feet. And then also in the other Gospels, when he gives them the new way to remember him by his body and blood through his sacrifice, reminding us that we have been given this amazing gift of grace. So that is all the time that we have for today. As always, I want to thank you for joining me on today, Maundy Thursday, April 13th, 2017. I hope you'll join me tomorrow when we'll be talking about the Good Friday texts as we continue through Holy Week. As always, a reminder that you can find all of our podcasts on www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts, not just the Bible study podcasts, but all of the podcasts on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on any of the apps that you use for your mobile devices. You can find us there. We are also available on social media. You can follow us and interact with us on social media. I would love to hear from you. So you can find the Bible Study Podcast on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Tumblr, and I would love to hear from you. So again, thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. And as always, I hope that you remember during this Holy Week especially that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.